In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not. So this is significant. For years and years and years and years, up till now, soon it will change. But when you tried to get health insurance, the big consideration was pre-existing conditions. The insurance company does not want to take someone who's coming in with cancer, because insurance company is only a profit-making business. They don't really care about you. You're just another number on a spreadsheet. That will soon change. So the members of the Panchatattva, they have no pre-existing conditions. Even Nityananda, who was the first ones that they tried to get in their Lord Chaitanya insurance program, Jagai and Madai. They thought, hey, if we can get these two guys to join our movement, we'll be a success. So the Panchatattva, no pre-existing, doesn't matter. Poor, rich, cultured, doesn't matter. Everyone is fit to take the nectar of Lord Chaitanya. Everyone. And we see Prabhupada did the same thing. Prabhupada tried to start this movement in India. No customers. He came to America and his first customers were people like me, the hippies. Those were the first ones. Prabhupada took what he could get. And then from there, little by little, then in the 70s, he went to India, back to India with his dancing white elephants and showed them, see, I have turned these Malechas and Yavanas into Brahmins. That is the power of Vaishnava, the power of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Haridas Thakur also was not even Hindu, but he was made Namacharya, the teacher of the holy name. Ramananda Roy was considered in some respects, but in some places in India, Ramananda Roy was considered Shudra. Yet the sannyasi Brahmin was hearing from him. Where do you see a sannyasi taking instruction from a Shudra? That's unheard of. But Lord Chaitanya did this, and he picked up Rupa and Sanatan, who were originally South Indian Brahmins, but because they had accepted a post in the Muslim government, the Brahmin community kicked them out, excommunicated them. And they even accepted Muslim names, Dabir Khas, Sakir Malak. But Lord Chaitanya accepted them, made them Goswamis. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is based on this. Nobody's fit, nobody's unfit, doesn't matter. We don't consider. Just come. Nor where such distribution should or should not take place. Yes, in the 70s and 80s, when the devotees were going everywhere to distribute books, some people didn't like it that we were at Target or in the airport or everywhere you turned. Like, for instance, when I joined the temple in 73 and 74, one day the temple president said to the devotees, everybody's going on book distribution today. One devotee will stay back and take care of the deities. So we had 100 devotees on the subways distributing books. So that one day, everybody in New York was saying, everywhere we look, we see Hare Krishnas. It was like, they're all over the place. So that is Lord Chaitanya's movement. I always give the example, right? How many 7-Elevens are there? How many Starbucks are there? So there can be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of little temples, Sri Jidam, this temple here, you have your preaching center, right? Let there be hundreds and hundreds, let there be a Hare Krishna epidemic. that will be very, very good. Let it happen. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. So that's what we do. We distribute love of God. Salesmen, they distribute so many things. Toothbrushes, vacuum cleaners, magazines. So many salesmen. We are also salesmen. But we are selling Krishna consciousness, love of God. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of God and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity. For this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. So again, this is just the opposite of our material experience. You do programs, like Krishna Kumar has so much experience. You make so much prasadam, now less people come, you have so much left over. Or the other way, you make a certain amount because only 5 people RSVP'd, then 50 people show up. What am I going to do? Right? And that happens. You make the plans, but people even sometimes say, Prabhu, I'm coming. And then you're waiting till 5 o'clock. What happened? Prabhu, where were you? It happens. So on the material platform, this can happen. Scarcity. But on the spiritual platform, there's no scarcity. Whatever, there's enough to give to everyone. And as it just said here, if you distribute, don't worry. The storehouse will always be replenished. So this is the greatness of Lord Chaitanya's movement. There's never going to be scarcity. There will sometimes be scarcity of food, like some places in America or in the world. Right? Some places in the world right now, they're starving. Right? So there could be scarcity of food. Could very well be a scarcity of water. Even in America. So there are material things, there can be scarcity. But not when it comes to spiritual things. Not when it comes to Lord Chaitanya's Krishna consciousness movement. The flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions. And thus young men, old men, women and children were all immersed in that inundation. So again, no restrictions. Everyone can take to this love of God. Everyone. There are no restrictions. Therefore, we ask everyone to chant the Maha Mantra. So in the next statement of Krishnadas Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj was after Lord Chaitanya. He was not a contemporary. There is some years between when Lord Chaitanya disappeared and the appearance of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So in this next verse, he makes a bold prediction. He says, the Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone. Whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. So the Krishna consciousness movement, you could say, because this, some people will ask, when did the Krishna consciousness movement start? You could give different answers. You could say, oh, Krishna consciousness movement started at the dawn of creation when Lord Narayan, everyone say that name please? When Lord Narayan instructed Lord Brahma, the creator, with the 4 nutshell or seed verses of Bhagavatam, you could give that answer. That is how I define Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma means as along with the creation, the eternal religious principles are given. When Lord Narayan told Lord Brahma, the 4 nutshell verses of Bhagavatam, that is Sanatana Dharma. It's there. Or you could say that the Krishna consciousness movement began when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. That's another plausible answer. Or you could say the Krishna consciousness movement was advanced by the inauguration of the Sankirtan movement by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago when he started chanting in Navadvip, chanting Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. He used to go early in the morning through all the towns and villages with his gang. He had a spiritual gang. And his spiritual gang would go with him early in the morning and they would wake people up with kirtan. Or you could say the Krishna, at least for America, for the United States of America, which we are all now residents of, the Krishna consciousness movement came and started in 1965 with the appearance at Commonwealth Pier in Boston when Srila Prabhupada set foot and then landed properly in New York. So you could give different answers for when the Krishna consciousness movement began. But Krishnadas Kaviraj is here predicting it will inundate the entire world. So it's happening, right? There are temples all over the world, even in China. You can go anywhere in the world now, and it will increase more and more. Because it is said that there is a golden age which lasts 10,000 years, which started 500 years ago with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, that for the next 10,000 years, Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world. So the question then arises, how will it happen? It will happen with you. You will spread the Krishna consciousness movement, only if you want to. Because Krishna does not interfere with your free will. But if you want this Krishna, if you want to get the credit, that's another way of saying it. When Krishna spoke to Arjuna on the chariot, and Krishna showed him the universal form, Virata Rupa, Arjuna asked, what are you? Who are you? What is your mission? And the universal form replied, I am time, and I have come to destroy everyone. And except for you Pandavas, everybody in this battlefield is finished. But then the universal form said, now Arjuna, I want you to be my instrument. I always like that, instrument. Since I'm a musician, I can readily identify. So when we play the kartals, right? The kartals play exactly as I dictate. It's not that the kartals tell me, you know what, I'm not playing 1, 2, 3. The kartals don't independently decide to play 1, 2. That would be some pair of kartals. You're trying to play 1, 2, 3 and it plays 1. So the instrument works according to the instrument player. So Krishna told Arjuna, I would like you to be my instrument. But Arjuna had to voluntarily agree. And that's why at the end of Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say to Arjuna? I told you everything. Now you decide what you want to do. No twisting of the arm. No punching Arjuna. No putting him in a headlock. Arjuna, do what I say or else. No. Krishna didn't strap dynamite on him and say, you're going to do what I say. No, Krishna gives free will to everyone. Arjuna then decided, yes, I will become your instrument. I will fight. So the idea is the opportunity is there for me, for all of you, to get credit for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, as Krishnadas Kaviraj says, it will inundate the entire world. Here we're inundating Gardena. We have our speaker system and it's traveling. And they may be in their house, in their room. They may be trying to watch the football game, but the sound is going there. So we are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. So Mehta family is spreading Krishna consciousness in Buena Park. You're doing it. What's your Moore Park? Buena Park, Moore Park. Supriya and her family, you're in Santa Clarita, no more parks. And we have Krishna Kumar in Placentia. And even we have Jyoti Dokia. Is that you, Jyoti? She's spreading Krishna consciousness in her law office of Cerritos. She does a monthly program. Is everybody invited? Absolutely. Yeah, she wants to get credit for spreading the Krishna consciousness. Here we have Dr. Gamakar. He's spreading Krishna consciousness in two places. In Huntington Beach, where he lives. And in what's, where's your office? Where do you have your office? Costa Mesa. We're everywhere, folks. And there should be more. The credit, who will get the credit? That's up to you. If you want the credit, just like here is Krishna Chandra. How old are you, Krishna Chandra? 15. So, as you grow up, do you think that you will try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement? Good. I would like that. And notice what Krishnadas Kaviraj says. And it will drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, even lame, invalid, or blind. There are no restrictions. In a negative way, you could say in a negative way, when a disease strikes, when there's an epidemic, the disease is indiscriminate. Young people, old people, right? When the disease strikes. Or when fire, when you come in contact with fire. The fire doesn't say, oh, this is a little baby. I'm not going to burn. No. The fire burns. So same way, Krishna consciousness movement will spread and inundate all over. Now the question is, who will get the credit? So would you like a blessing? Raise your hands and accept your blessing. I bless you that in your way, whatever way you can, you will get credit for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. If you accept, say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama. Rama.
Rama
Rama. Rama
Hare Hare. Now I'm going to... The next statement of Krishnadas Kaviraj in this chapter, he says, when the five members of the Panchatattva, so let's see if we remember, Lord Chaitanya, who's next? Nityananda, who's next? Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, Srivas Thakur. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of God, and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. So this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj is teaching us very nicely, what does it really mean to be spiritually advanced? Some people think, oh, I like spiritual life. I also like material life too. So they think, yes, I don't mind being spiritual, but I also want my material life too. Last Sunday, I was at a home, and the lady said to me, Prabhuji, yeah, I like Bhagavad Gita, but I like Las Vegas. So what was I going to say? So the thing is, one, this verse by the Krishnadas Kaviraj clearly points out, it is like a scale, a balance. If one side's going up, the other side must come down. You can't have it both going up, right? One side goes down, the other side goes up. So, when it says here, When the Panchatattva saw that the world was drowned in love of Godhead, the proof of that was that the seed of material enjoyment had been destroyed. That's the key. There is even one song we sometimes sing by Narottam Das Thakur, that, Lord Nityananda, please bless me that I become free from all kinds of material attachment. So the choice of words that Krishna does, the seed of material enjoyment, that is the root of the problem. A good doctor, when you have a disease, an ailment, a good doctor doesn't just deal with the symptoms. Right? Take two aspirin. No. If you have a serious disease, you want to go to the root of the problem and solve it. So, say if anyone's ever had a boil, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's even expression, blowing on a boil. No. Boil means you got major problems with your blood. And you have to go in there and get the poison out of the blood, the infection. You have to make sure that all that poison gets out. So the problem with this material, with everyone, is they have this seed of material enjoyment in the heart. That is the reason why everything is going wrong with this material world, the seed of material enjoyment. The seed of the material enjoyment means, I don't want to love and serve God, I want to love and serve His energy. Like we sometimes say, you Indian people say, what was Ravan's program? Ravan liked the kingdom of God, but didn't like God. Ravan liked Sita, but didn't want anything to do with Ram. So that was Ravan's problem. Everybody wants the kingdom of God, everybody wants heaven, but they don't want the real cause of that heaven, which is God, the personality of Godhead, spiritual life. So the seed of material enjoyment is the original sin. The original sin is, I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be the center of attention. Everyone notice me. I want to have 1 billion followers on Twitter. I want to be the most important person in the whole world. I want to be the controller. I want to be the proprietor. The billionaire is not happy with 1 billion. After the billionaire gets 1 billion, what's he planning? How can I get 2? How can I get more? Now, the seed of material enjoyment, there's no end. It goes on, and that's why we take birth after birth after birth, because we have not rooted out the seed of material enjoyment. As long as that seed is in the heart, you will take birth again. And I sometimes, because in my preaching in different temples around the world, I preach everyone should go back home, back to Godhead. But then you get that person, Prabhu, I don't want to go back to Godhead. I am more advanced. I want to take birth again. So then I say, really? You want to take birth in Darfur? Huh? Is that what you're thinking? Or are you thinking that you're going to take birth? You live now in Cerritos, but in your next life you will take birth in Palos Verdes. Maybe, maybe not. There's no guarantee. When you all know Indian people, you all remember Nehru, right? Right? He was the first prime minister, right? So, one astrologer, he told Prabhupada, oh, Nehru, you know what happened to Nehru? Prabhupada said, what? He took birth as a dog in Switzerland. One astrologer told Prabhupada that. So, you can believe it or not, I don't, what do I know? But the point of the matter is, Taking a risk of coming back again to this material world is not intelligent. And what is causing that birth after birth is because I have not rooted out the seed of material enjoyment. So anyone who has done farming, Dr. Garmakar, you have done farming in your previous life, right? Right? Yes, am I correct? You have done farming. So, if you want to grow food, you want to grow plants, there must be sufficient water, right? But if there's a flood, right, just like what happened, right? Sometimes there's not enough rain, like this year, or sometimes too much rain. Too much rain can destroy the whole crop. So this seed of material enjoyment can be destroyed by the flood of love of God. And that was how Lord Chaitanya designed it. The seed of material enjoyment, let it be flooded with love of God. And that is the whole program of the Krishna consciousness movement. Flood the seed of material enjoyment. So therefore, when people ask me for advice, what do I tell them? I tell them, don't worry about so many things. You just do as much hearing and chanting and praying. Flood your heart. That will solve all your problems. That is the Krishna consciousness program. Flood your heart with love of God as much as possible. Especially by chanting the Maha Mantra. Everybody. So for my final sermon for today, now I will give a general understanding of the reason why the Panchatattva appeared. Let's go back 5,000 years ago when Krishna himself was on this planet. Many of you come from India. So when Krishna comes, out of all the countries in the world, he likes to go to India. The reason why, you'll have to ask him. But he likes. So, when Krishna came 5,000 years ago, outside of a few people, not everyone understood. Not everyone accepted. So when Krishna returned back home, back to his spiritual abode, he was thinking, I came, I lived for 125 years on earth, but the people in general did not get it. They misunderstood. So now I will come again, and I will personally teach them what is the real purpose of why I came in the first place. So Krishna came in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to personally teach us, the people of Kali Yuga. He came to show us personally and to teach us that rather than try to be God, you will be much more happier. You will enjoy much better by being God's surrendered servant. In the material world, nobody likes this word servant. They hate that word. Nobody wants to be servant. Everybody wants to be boss. Everyone wants to... And nowadays, this phenomenon is so prevalent. Even someone has a very low-paying job, they give them a big, big title. You'll see that. The guy is he's a janitor, but they give them this technical term as if, oh, he's very, very high in society. Yes, because nobody in the material world wants to see themselves low. Everybody in material world wants to present themselves as, I am special, I am so aristocratic, I am so important. That's part of that seed of material enjoyment. But when Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago, he himself was teaching that here is God, and he's showing by his own example that there is more enjoyment in being the servant of God. This is what we want. There are many, many, many hundreds of things we learn from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, but this is one of the most important. That as soon as I give up the concept of trying to be God, the enjoyer, the proprietor, the cynosure, as soon as I give up trying to be the most important person in the room, and as soon as I begin to see myself as the servant of 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 God, now my real happiness is increasing. The soul, the living entity, by nature seeks enjoyment. You can't change that. That's never going to go away. The soul, being part and parcel of God, is always going to seek enjoyment. So it's not a question of seeking enjoyment. That's always going to be there. Same way with desire. There is no such thing as having no desire. Only a dead stone or a table has no desire. But if you're alive, you're going to have desire. You can't escape it. The fact that you are alive means you are going to have desire. And the fact that you're alive means you are going to seek some kind of enjoyment. So that's not the question. The question is what kind of desire and what kind of enjoyment. That's the question. Another argument that is very prevalent nowadays. One topic that's coming up a lot. Some people say, oh, we should have very little government. All right, let's have our anarchy. No government. Let's do that. See how that goes. No, the question is not whether there's government. The question is there good government? So, in the same way, seeking enjoyment is always going to be there. Always. Now we learn from Bhagavad Gita, we learn from Lord Chaitanya, what kind of enjoyment are you going to go after? Because you are going to go after enjoyment. Now the question is, what kind of enjoyment? Are you going to go after that enjoyment which leads you to hell? Or are you going to go for that kind of enjoyment that leads you upward to heaven, to the spiritual kingdom? That's the choice. So, in life, in reality, it's all about choice. End of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says to Arjuna, I've told you everything, now you choose what you want to do. That's the meaning of free will. The soul will always have free will, always. You're never going to lose your free will. Even in heaven, even in hell, you will always have free will. The question becomes, what do you do with your free will? What do you do with your choice? So the Bhagavad Gita and Lord Chaitanya is teaching people, you should choose to serve God, because that is in your own best interest. For instance, all of you parents, those of you who are parents, you are guiding your children in such a way how to train them so that when they get older, they make the right choices in life. Because you may love your sons and daughters, but at a certain point, they are going to have to go on their own. You won't be there every step of the way. When they're small, yes, the mothers and fathers are making decisions. But here is Krishna Chandra. You're now 15. So you're about to become a man. So mommy and daddy know you're going to go to college. They won't be there every step of the way. You are going to be with so many choices and decisions. I'm not trying to scare you, but that's the reality. Right? So hopefully, and I know for a fact, your parents have guided you very, very nicely. They've done a very good job. But they know once you go away and you're on your own, so don't make the wrong choice. So Bhagavad Gita and Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is guiding us, pointing us, these are the kinds of choices you should make. You should be choosing your happiness that is in goodness and pure goodness. Don't choose the happiness that is in the modes of passion and ignorance. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. That if you choose your happiness in the mode of goodness, you'll be fine. But passion and ignorance, if you choose your pleasures in passion and ignorance, then you will have to suffer the results. You will suffer the results. So Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva, they came to teach by example. The highest platform of enjoyment is to become the servant of God. And that is one of their missions. And they taught it personally by their life, by their teachings. They taught, here is how to really enjoy. This is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's movement, centered around the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Because what is the Hare Krishna mantra? The Hare Krishna mantra simply means, O energy of God. Who is that energy of God? Radharani. The pleasure potency. I love that when Prabhupada explained this point, that God has a pleasure potency. Oh, I love God. He has His own pleasure potency? Oh, this is great. Swadhini Shakti. Right? So, there is a platform whereby you can live your life always under the protection of this spiritual internal pleasure potency. And where does that come from? By rendering devotional service. So the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra, O energy of God, O God, please engage me in your service. The seed of material enjoyment, when that's in the heart, the prayer is different. When the seed of material enjoyment is in the heart, here's how the prayer comes out. O God, give me this. Give me this. O Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends. Yeah, that's the material prayer. God, what have you done for me lately? And if I don't get what I want from this God, then tomorrow I go to that God. And if I don't get what I want from that... Like one time, when I was doing the life membership program in Los Angeles Temple, somebody sponsored the Sunday feast, and he wanted certain things which I couldn't give him. So at the end, I announced his name, I gave him what I could. He was very upset with me. Ooh. He was yelling at me as I came out of the temple, and he was, I am very disturbed with you. You did not do this, you did do that. And if you don't do it next time, I am going to become a Muslim. He was threatening me like, whoa. This is the mentality. The mentality is, if I don't get what I want, all right, I will do this. No. You'll never be really happy that way. So, we don't pray, give me this, give me this. My mother used to always say to me, my blessed mother, my mother used to always say, give me, never gets. I learned, that was one of my first mantras I learned from my mother. Gimme, gimme, never gets. Yes. My mother had many mantras. I wish I had listened. One of them was brush your teeth. And you all know, I didn't listen. So this Maha Mantra means, oh, inner pleasure, energy of God, Mother Hara. Everyone say that name. Oh Krishna, oh Rama, please engage me in your service. Whenever I'm asked to speak at a wedding or an engagement, I always say, so here you are. You are about to become husband and wife. Here is the secret of success to your marriage. And so I turn to the man. Look at your partner. Now you must see yourself as her servant. And then I look at the woman and I say, look at the man. You are going to become his servant. If that mentality is there, you'll go to bed every night very happy. But as soon as I think, here is my slave, big problems are going to ensue. And it works both ways. Works both ways. I remember one time I was speaking to a group of new prospective persons who were going to join the temple. So I was introducing them. And this one young lady, she was speaking in such a way, very, very negative about men. Very, very negative. She must have had some bad experience. But then she said she wanted to get married. I was like, huh? And I said, but you hate men so much. Why are you getting married? She goes, oh, they make good servants. At least I got you laughing. The sign of a good lecture is you get the audience to laugh. Then you've got them. So, the idea is, on the spiritual platform, we're simply trying how to become the better and better servant of Radha and Krishna. And that is why we chant with all sincerity, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So now we have a special